for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, April the 5th, 1985. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Arlene Moody of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is the teacher of the morning.
I want you to know that just standing here is a miracle. For most of my life, I couldn't even stand up to say anything, let alone stand in front of the people I didn't know, much less those I did know. So I want to thank the Lord for that. And I want to read a little scripture to you that came to me this morning and has helped me in a lot of the things that have happened to me in my life. It's Philippians, the first chapter, the 28th verse. And I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. Now, one of these people that needs a lot of help, and God has given me a lot of help. And one of the things He gave me that helped me a lot in my Christian life was the Amplified Bible. I used to kind of get by on things in the King James. You know, I'd think I was doing pretty well. But then I'd read it in Amplified, and I'd find out I wasn't. But the last time I gave half of this testimony at another service where Gene and I were, the devil reacted by bringing a sudden storm upon the place, turning off all the electricity in the area, knocking over a few trees and a whole bunch of other stuff. And we almost decided not to have the meeting, but the people there said, "We're here, let's have it." So we did. And this is the scripture that came to me as Gene and I rode up there, and we saw this horrible black cloud coming over. "Do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such consistency and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them of their impending disaster, and a token and an evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God." So whenever Gene and I start out to do something, when someone asks us to say anything or minister anything, usually things happen. And at first it used to frighten me, because I was such a pupil of fear. I would become completely unhinged just thinking that the devil was rising up against me. Then as I grew in my spiritual life, I realized He always is arised up against me. He is risen up against every Christian and will be 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year, as long as you live. And in the Bible, it tells us not to be ignorant of Him nor His ways. For most of my life, I was ignorant of Him, ignorant of His ways. I had a hard understanding. I couldn't quite understand why would Jesus come down here and die, because I was not familiar with the devil. And in my life as a child, I was not too familiar with anything He did. My parents were somewhat of a contradiction, and part of this testimony concerns one of my parents in particular. My parents were good people. They were church people. They were upstanding people. They taught us good morals, and they kept our home clean, clean of anything that was unholy. And there was only one thing in my life as a child that really did go into my subconscious mind that I'm aware of right now, and that was from abuse. And what I want to tell you is that I do not remember this abuse. Even since I have come through the deliverance, I still do not remember it. I can't feel it like it actually happened. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the subconscious mind. It's the part of you that reacts to things, and you don't know why you react that way. It's the part of you that does a lot of the decision-making that you're not conscious of. For me, it was like if someone gave me a particular, this is just a for instance, but if someone gave me a particular look like they didn't really have any interest in me, I immediately went into a state of sort of a depressed rejection. And to keep that from getting very deep into my life, I took up an attitude like this: if you don't like me, you can just turn your head. And if you had asked me at that time, "Are you rejected?" I would have told you no. Because in our conscious mind, we're frequently not familiar with what's going on in our subconscious mind. And I want to tell you how I came to be rejected. I'll give you a definition of abuse also. Abuse is to use ill, to mistreat, to misuse, to use with bad motives or wrong purposes, to violate, to defile, to deceive, to impose on, to treat harshly, to use insultingly, coarsely, use bad language about or to revile. Now this is my testimony about my subconscious mind deliverance, and it mainly centers on abuse. Any type of rejection that you receive affects you. If you're not a Christian and you don't know how the Lord tells you to deal with this rejection, then you enter into bitterness, and bitterness enters into rebellion. And those three things are the picture of my life. But if you saw me, you would see a successful person. My husband was an engineer, and I walked beside him, and we were successful. I had two children, and according to my two children, I was successful. According to the neighbor's children, I was successful. According to my friends, I was successful. So I don't know how a person can go around with so many things in their subconscious and conscious mind that are so critical to their destruction and still seem to function. I know that I was a good housewife and mother by my own desire. And I want to show you why I had such a strong desire. All types of rejection worked to destroy the person. It wants to destroy their mental health, their emotional health, and sometimes even their physical health. I want to read you a scripture in 2 Timothy 3:1-6. And I was shocked when I found this in the Bible. But understand this, that in the last days there will set in perilous times of great distress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of selves, utterly self-centered, lovers of money, aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant, contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. And I want to say something to parents, having been one and still am one. If you find that your children are disobedient, you need to look at the above. A child does not become rebellious unless he has parents who are self-centered and mostly following their own greedy desires. They will be without natural human affection, callous, inhuman, relentless, admitting to no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers. I was a troublemaker, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled, fierce haters of good. They will be treacherous betrayers, rash, inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusement, more than and rather than lovers of God. And although they hold a form of true piety and religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people and turn away from them. Now, you know, it says that you're supposed to avoid all such people and turn away from them. And, you know, that is a lot of the picture of me. I didn't have all those things wrong with me, but I did have some. What I want you to do is remember that scripture as I go through my testimony and see if you can see how it affected me, the life that my mother and my father lived. My mother in particular was a schizophrenia person. And she wasn't one of these people who goes raving mad. She didn't do that very often. She did it once in a while. Most of her life, she was a very jolly mother. She was able to cope with circumstances that would have thrown many people completely. She had a tremendous sense of humor. But then there was the other side. And in this other side is what happened to me. I had certain problems with my personality. I had an inordinate desire to please anybody, everybody, and especially those in authority over me. I had an inability to say no to things I didn't want to do. Someone could ask me to do a good thing. Earlene, will you help with the PTA meeting? I didn't want to. I didn't feel like I had anything to offer to that PTA meeting. But I'd say yes, and I would take time away from things that I really should be doing to try to do that. That really wasn't right. Always setting goals for myself. I worked very hard to be successful. And then just as I was about ready to finish the thing and get my reward, I'd stop short, fear of failure, always feeling that I had to do things better than anyone else. And this was really a driving force in my life. As Gene and I moved around the country, he bought me houses. He bought me beautiful, fine houses. And I would go into them, and because the houses were the same as the others in the neighborhood, in other words, everybody had beautiful, fine houses, then I'd do something to mine to make it better. I wanted them, when they came to my house, to say, ooh, ah, gorgeous. And I also wanted to impress them. I wanted to think Gene made more money than he did. Of course, he made plenty of money, but you know, and you're going to see how all this worked out in the end. I was always trying to make myself, my family, and everything around me look better than I thought it really was. It didn't matter how good it was. I wanted it to look even better. So I spent a lot of time trying to do that. This tells you how I came to find out these things were in me. In September of 1983, my husband and I and my son-in-law and daughter, we went up to St. Francisville to load a horse. Now, this little horse had been sick, but God had healed it, and it was well. While we were there loading that horse, I cut off the end of my finger, about a half an inch, trying to help load the horse. And that was partly my fault. I was careless. I was paying more attention to the horse than what I was doing. And so my finger got caught in the rope and was pulled across the top of the door and cut about that much off of it. It was the first time I had had need of a hospital in many years. I was put to sleep so that they could sew the finger into the palm of my hand and do some reconstructive surgery. The next day I was told that I was supposed to be quiet, behave, and rest as much as possible. So I thought this was a pretty good idea. I'd been teaching school and I was a little tired anyway, so I laid down on the sofa and I was going to stay there all day. I told myself it'd be good to have this rest. And I laid down there and I was praying. You know, some of the best times for me to pray are when I'm by myself and everything is quiet. And I began to talk to the Lord about different things in my life that bothered me. And one of the things I started asking him about is why. I'm my mother's only daughter. Why is it I can't help her in her life now? My dad had died and she became very schizophrenia and paranoid after he died. And she was in Tennessee and is a long way from any of us children. And I wanted to help her get settled near one of us, because all of us were willing to take her. And as I lay there, I started saying, Lord, why is it I can't help my mother? Why is it? I've been gone for 20 years, and I would really like to have her near me. And so this little flashback, memory maybe, it wasn't a dream because I wasn't asleep. But I saw this scene, and I was like I was at the top of the room, and I was looking down on this scene. And I saw this woman, and she was just horribly beating this child. And I thought, I'm going to stop that. And so I went down into the scene, and I looked, and the woman was my mother. And that shocked me, and I didn't know what to do about that. And so I just stood a little bit longer, and then I decided, who is she beating? I don't remember her ever doing this. And so, who is she beating? And I got down beside the bed, and I looked, and the little girl was me. So I thought, I'm hallucinating. Those drugs they gave me yesterday, they're playing tricks on my mind. So even though I was not supposed to be up and moving about very much, I decided, I'm getting up from here. And I said, I'm going to find something to do. Well, you know, when you've been two-handed all your life, a one-handed deal is hard to find. I went to the kitchen. I was going to wash the dishes. Well, you know, people who wash dishes have two hands. I went to make the bed, and that's difficult with one hand when you haven't had any practice. So I decided, all right, I'll go out and I'll sweep the carport. So I put the broom under my arm and I was sweeping away. But I kept thinking about that and wondering, you know, drugs really do terrible things to you. And then the phone rang and I went to talk to my older brother. And he said, you sound a little funny. And I said, well, I had an accident yesterday and I had to have my finger sewn into my palm. I cut off the end of my finger. And I said, but you know, I've been having terrible hallucinations this morning. And he asked me about it and I told him. And he didn't say a word. And then I thought, well, he'd gone off the line. I didn't know what happened. So finally I said, hey, are you still there? And he said, yes. And he said, Erlen, you don't remember that day? And I said, no, I don't remember that day at all. And he began to tell me what happened on that particular day. And he said that I was in the yard playing with my little brothers, and that my mother called me in. And she asked me something, and he didn't know what she asked me, but evidently what I answered didn't work out too well. And she began to beat me. And he said that this had happened so many times and so often that he had told my father that he was going to kill my mother if she didn't stop this. And I remember just vaguely seeing this man in the corner of the room with a gun. And there was only one thing I heard anybody say during all of this little scene. And that was my dad telling my mother that if you do beat her again like this, I will kill you. And so from that day on, nothing like that ever happened to me again. And I don't know what happened to it. It's not in my memory at all, but it did happen. So as I began to live my life after this, I noticed I had strange reactions to things. I had been delivered about 8 years before of many things that were in my conscious mind. I had gone through rejection, rebellion, bitterness, almost all that was in Pigs in the Parlor. and I was much better. In fact, life was so peaceful that I was somewhat shocked. I enjoyed my life. It was fun. The pressures were gone. Everything seemed to be going along pretty much very well. But then after I had this flashback, or memory, or whatever you want to call it, I noticed I had several strange reactions. The pastor walked into my classroom. I absolutely came unhinged. I just simply couldn't function. Our pastor and our principal come in often to observe us, to offer criticism or compliments, whatever. And I've always enjoyed it. It was a time for my class and I to really have some fun showing off what we learned. But this time I couldn't do anything. I just simply fell apart. I just stood there. And that was the thing that shocked me the most. But then I also noticed that I was very irritable. I resented anything that Gene told me or suggested that I do. I became hostile. I panicked when a police car passed me on the freeway. I would start immediately to look at my speedometer to see, what in the world have I done? Why is he coming near me? There was no reason for it. I hadn't done anything, and I wasn't really going all that fast. I came to realize that something was very definitely wrong with me, and Gene and I began to pray about it. Now, at the time that I had received my deliverance, about 8 years before that, we didn't know anything. We didn't know if there were a demon. We didn't know much about the devil, and we didn't know anything about demons. And so after 2 years of fasting and praying, God brought us to deliverance one night. And there wasn't anybody in our town that we knew who believed that a Christian could have a devil, and nobody knew what to do after you got them out. And so what we had to do was follow the Bible very closely, stay very close in obedience to what it told me to do. We prayed, and we felt like God wanted to bring me into deliverance again. And we thought, this is strange, because the things that I felt I needed delivered from, I'd already been delivered from, I thought. It was very puzzling. So Gene began to call out things, rejection, fear of authority, abuse. And as he did this, the Lord sort of told me, Earlene, this is deliverance for your subconscious mind. And I began after that to ask the Lord, all right, what about the subconscious mind? What happens there? Why did I forget it? And I don't have an answer to why did I forget it. But abuse very oftentimes leads to demons in the subconscious mind. A child will react, or an adult will react to a situation according to how he has been treated or brought up. The abuse doesn't always have to be physical. It can be verbal. It can be mental. Neglect is a good abuse. It can be sexual. But all these forms of abuse have a very deep and lasting effect on the person that they're done to. And that person then affects all the people that come around it. And I used to wonder why I could walk into a room and I could tell immediately the people that I would like and the people that I wouldn't like and the ones who would like me and wouldn't like me. And I wondered, why in the world do I have all these feelings about all these places? It's because my subconscious mind had been trained to react, and it reacted to people and situations, and I wasn't even conscious of it doing that. If you've been an abused person in any way, you'll see this affects your relationships with everything and everybody and all that you do. And I remember once walking home from school on the mountain. I was raised in the mountains of Tennessee, and I remember this voice said to me, Earlene, you don't have to be like your people. You can choose. And later in my life, just recently, I realized that was God that talked to me. Because when you have been physically abused, you tend to do that to your children. And you do it, but you don't know why. I've known some women who abuse their children, and they don't know why they do it. They just do it. And they do it because inside in their subconscious mind, in their conscious mind, they don't want to do these things. They hate themselves for doing it. But in their subconscious mind, this thing is very strong, and so they do it. When I was raising my children, I was very fortunate in that I didn't remember anything that happened to me, and so I didn't abuse my children. I had one strong rule in my life, and I know that now I realize it came from that abuse. I had made a commitment to myself and my children. I will never, never, never touch them when I am very angry or very mad, and I wouldn't. And I know that this saved them from the abuse that I would have otherwise have given them. Children who have been abused and their subconscious minds have been damaged are always emotionally unstable. A lot of times they are suspicious or fearful of everybody who's around them. As I teach my first grade, I observe things. And I observe that some of my children, although they're very bright intelligently and can learn anything, Their problem is they're afraid, they're insecure, they're watching everything and everybody, and this takes up all their time, and they can't study, and they can't do the things they want to do. And as I get acquainted with these children and look back in their lives, I see there's a form of abuse that has worked on their mental and emotional life. And they're unable to cope like you would if you had been raised up in a Christian home without these abuses. They have difficulty learning, mainly because they're emotionally unsound. Some become so fearful that they are always watching everybody and every situation. They can't go to sleep at night unless they're sure that everyone in the house is in bed, sound asleep. Some are so pressured by rejection, they go to very unnatural means or extreme means to succeed. I did that. Lying does not seem so bad if it will stop the abuse. I did that. I lied so often in my life as a young person, and it wasn't until I was convicted by the Lord as an adult that I quit things that had to do with lying. Most of my lying was not serious bad lying. It was like this. Earlene, you like my dress? It's the first one I ever made. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. It wasn't beautiful. And I could have said something that would have been constructive and yet not hurt them. But because in my subconscious mind I was so fearful of rejection from that person, I wouldn't say anything like that. I wouldn't say, well, you know, that's very nice. You did a real good job on that. And I'm sure as you go along in this sewing, you'll get better and better. I could have said something honest, yet complimentary. But I couldn't see that, you see. All I could see is, yeah, say yeah. And I did. Many do become schizophrenia. Some go into paranoia. Some become psychotic. Schizophrenia people are double-minded or many-minded. The Bible talks about double-minded people in several places. I guess the one that stands out the most in my mind is James 1, when it talks about the man that approaches God and he asks for wisdom and he asks for help, and he's just washed back and forth. He can't make up his mind whether to go with God or not go with God. And it says you can't get anything from God if you're that way. You're just pushed around by everything. It talks about the billowing surge of sea. But see, the people around you are like that too. And I would be pushed this way by people, and I would be pushed that way by people. And if you'd asked me much about myself, I couldn't have told you anything, because I was subject to whichever way the feelings were going wherever I was. Since a lot of the abuse has no foundation, in fact, the child trying to decide why is this happening to me becomes very confused and very frustrated. Many work very hard to try to prove themselves that it wasn't so. Many times if you verbally abuse a girl child and call them terrible things and tell them how horrible they are in ways they have not been, then what they do is if they can't prove to you it isn't so, then they'll just go do it. Like I knew one girl who her parents were always calling her a whore. And they always told her every time she wanted to go to the grocery store or go shopping with her girlfriends, they said, "You're trying to go out with some boy." Well, I knew that when she went with me, it wasn't that. All we did was go shopping and try on dresses and go home. We didn't do anything bad, and we bought what we wanted. And this girl, because they told her this all the time, by the time we were 18 years old, she was that. So be careful about verbally abusing your children. They often become what you say. They don't want to, but they will. There is a pattern that follows with children who've been abused. Whether it's mental or physical, they get to where they can't accept truth because they don't understand it or recognize it. They have been dealt with dishonestly, and I know that after I married my husband, I didn't realize I didn't trust him until I came into deliverance. He was a good husband. He looked after us very well. He was a very good father. He was a good worker. As far as I know, he never ever even looked at another woman. But I didn't trust him, and I didn't know where I didn't trust him. You know, I couldn't say, "I'm afraid he's going to go out with another woman. I'm afraid he's not going to work." It was there, but it didn't have any words or understanding with it. And when we came through deliverance the first time, I realized I had never really been able to relax and trust him. People who've been abused mentally or physically are always uptight. They often can't recognize the truth because in trying to settle the truth within themselves, why is this happening to me? And there is no truthful reason. Why did my mother beat me? No particular reason. She did not beat my brothers. They have trouble trusting God. If you can't trust your parents, then it's very difficult for you to turn then and place a trust in God when you meet Him. You'll have a hard time obeying Him, because if the parents told you to obey them and you did and it didn't work out right and you were beat because of that, you're fearful of trusting God. You can't let yourself go and really believe Him or believe what He says. You can't trust your husband or your wife, so you're nervous, you're tense. You're always out trying to look for the best deal. You're always trying to be a step ahead of everybody else. Sexually abused children have these same problems, but hate is very strong in them, and they oftentimes turn and become worse than they were treated. We've worked with some people who, being molested as children, have become homosexual or sadist or even worse, because when this thing got into their subconscious mind, they couldn't deal with it anymore. You see, the subconscious acts without you being aware of it. We found that I had to forgive my mother, even though I couldn't remember it and I didn't have any emotions of hate toward her. I still had to forgive her because, see, she had put me through a lot of trauma in my life, like sure foundations I didn't have. I couldn't tell if you were talking to me, if you were really telling me the truth or not, or if you were trying to get ups on me or seduce me in some way. I never would trust my decisions about people. I just couldn't tell. So the first thing I had to do was forgive my mother. And after I found out about this, I'd have times of almost wanting to hate her. And I had to remember what the Bible says, that I have to forgive. Then I had to remember that my mother, as she grew up, had a very hard time. And I'm sure this affected her. And I'm sure that this caused her to do a lot of the things that she did. And I learned to have compassion for my mother and for my father. I think when a father does not support the children, it causes the children worse trouble than when the mother doesn't. I noticed in the Bible where it talks about Jesus being raised by Joseph. In the Amplified Bible, there's an adjective there, tenderly. And when you get into the New Testament, where it tells fathers about how to raise their children, that same adjective is there, tenderly. You see, my father failed me in that he didn't do anything about it until I was 10 or 12 years old. That was a long time to suffer that sort of abuse. I think that one of the things that helped me most was that my father did finally stand up for me. And my brother said that he knew my father knew because he had been telling him for years. So you see, because I couldn't trust my father, I didn't trust my husband. I didn't trust my pastor. I didn't trust my employer. I was always being careful that they didn't get me. Now, if you have nervousness or fears or lying, inability to trust, and you know why you don't, that's fine. But when it's in your subconscious mind, you don't know why you don't. You're just nervous. Why was I nervous? I didn't have anything to be nervous about. As an adult, I had a husband who was very careful as a husband. He watched after me. He took care of me. I didn't have anything to be nervous about, but I was nervous. I could get in a bunch of people. I was nervous. Now, you didn't think it was because I was so outgoing and I was the life of the party. What was that? That was a cover-up. But I was nervous. I was scared. I was threatened. If you find yourself having these nervousnesses, fears, lying, inability to trust, always having to prove yourself, if you're in deadhead competition all the time, if you have hate and hatefulness in your life, if you have strong leanings toward sexual perversions, hypocritical, fantasies, inability to cope with life or the people around you, extreme self-centeredness, extreme emotions, bad temper, depression, confusion, frustrations, always being a victim. If you're unable to control your actions, then you probably need deliverance in your subconscious mind as well as your conscious mind. One of the things that we found out about people who have demons in their subconscious mind, especially associated with some form of abuse, is that they try very hard to be grateful to God. When they go to church, like one girl that we worked with, when she's at Bethany, she's jumping up and down, throwing her arms around, very loud in her extreme praise of the Lord. But when we talk together in private, she isn't grateful to God for anything. And one of the things that happens to you when you're abused and you're victimized is when something good does happen to you, you're afraid to appreciate it. Because everything that's good that's happened to you in the past has always had a bad end. So you can't trust it. You don't know what it's going to cost you for this good thing to happen to you. So you go to church and you pretend like you're worshiping the Lord. Before I was delivered, I could jump as high as the others. I could wave my arms just as big. I was an overt praiser of the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that when I did it, it wasn't really real. I didn't know about gratitude to God. Now, after my first deliverance, I did not know what to do with my mind. It was somewhat cleaned up, and I didn't know what to do. And I noticed the habits that I'd had before in thinking and so forth coming back on me. So I took my Strong's Concordance, and I looked up everything in the Bible that had to do with mind and heart, because I'd found by looking in one of the dictionaries that Gene had that, like in the King James, sometimes they're used, one is used and the other, but it means the same thing. So I went through and I marked them all in my Bible, and I found out that I did not know how to use my mind, that I had let it be operated. I had never operated it. I started in Deuteronomy especially, and I found there were many things that I was supposed to set my mind and heart to that I never had. As a Christian, I was supposed to think certain ways, and I had not. While I was going through Deuteronomy, I found a verse that really upset me. It's in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the 47th verse. And it says, "Because you did not serve the Lord your God, gratefulness of heart and mind and gratitude for all with which he has blessed you, you shall serve your enemies in the want of all things, in nakedness and in hunger, and he, God, will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you." You know, I always find verses in the Bible that nobody ever preaches about, and they upset me a great deal. And this one upset me very much. Because, see, I'd go to church, and, man, I'd get into those songs. I'd get into the beat of the music. Our church is lively. I wanted to worship the Lord with all my heart. I really did. But I couldn't understand that. So then I started looking up in the Strong's Concordance, gratitude, thankfulness, and I found that it was mentioned in the Bible almost 200 times, an awful lot of times for one thing to be mentioned. And I started thinking, now what am I grateful to God for? And I said, well, my life and my salvation. But that word all is very upsetting, all. Am I grateful to God that my son died? Said all. Am I grateful to God for the things around my house that don't please me? It said all. So then I began to say, Lord, now how can I be grateful for things around my house that don't please me when I think they ought to be better? Strange little thought came in my head. Earlene, you don't deserve any of this. I can take it away faster than your son died. I love you, and I provided for you. I would like to provide more for you, but because of the state of your mind and your heart toward me, I can't. Therefore, you have the situation you have. If you want anything changed, you must learn to be grateful for the all, the good and the bad that's in your life right now. Now, the reason I didn't like things around my house right then was because my husband had moved me from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and as we had moved around the country for about 20 years, I lived in the best houses, in the best subdivisions, in the very best of everything. I had 3 children and 5 or 6 bedrooms. We all had a bathroom of our own if we wanted it. 2 children, excuse me. But anyway, we had so much, and I didn't think that I really loved all this stuff. You see, when you have demons in your subconscious mind, you don't really know yourself very well. As I moved around the country, people said, Earlene, I bet you really love the boats, the houses, all this stuff. And I would say to them, no, I don't really, you know, things never have meant a great deal to me. But then after Byron died, Gene moved us to Baton Rouge, and he moved us into, of all things, a 3-bedroom house with 2 bathrooms and furniture for a 6-bedroom house. And I couldn't walk for the furniture. And that was okay. See, I just lost Byron, and I was kind of spiritual, and that was okay. But you know how it happens with your superficial spirituality? It wears thin with the days. So as I began to keep house in that house with furniture wall to wall, if I started to vacuum under the sofa, I'd wind up with bruised places on my legs from trying to get around it, the coffee table and the end tables and the other chairs. And I'd stand up in the middle of the room and I would say, you have to watch what you say. I would say, I hate this house. I used to just say it when I fixed the house on cleanup day. But then I got to where I would say it when I turned in to the subdivision. I hate this house. I hate this place. And before long, that almost consumed me. The the hate I had for that house. And God began to deal with me, and he taught me about gratitude, that I should appreciate that house, each end table, each glass, each cup, because this was his provision for me. And that until I could be grateful for this particular house, there really wasn't any gratitude in my heart. I have to be grateful to God when things are bad and when they're good. A lot of good has come to us out of our son's death. It wasn't a good thing, was it? But a lot of good came out of it. A lot of good came to other people. Before he died and before I was delivered, I didn't care about other people. If you had problems, I wanted you to quickly leave. People with problems were the pits, and I didn't want to have anything to do with them. I was too busy. I had a very exciting life, and I didn't want to face that it wasn't that way. You see, when you have these demons acting on your subconscious mind, a reality is hard to face. I didn't want to face it. But I took this verse and I said, by the grace of God, I'm going to learn what it means and I'm going to obey. So I'd find myself going through the house and I would say, thank you, Lord, for this coffee table. Thank you for the use of it while I'm here. Thank you, Lord, for these dirty dishes I get to wash. And I began to realize that my whole inside being was changing. Instead of having any depression, instead of being disgusted, instead of feeling down, I was feeling great. I could go to church then, and I didn't have to wave my arms unless I really felt it. I didn't have to jump up and down and dance around the church unless I really felt it. Unless it was motivated from my heart toward God. Not motivated because the people around me were doing it and I wanted to look like them. If you jump three times, I want to jump four, you know, because I want to do it as good as you did. You need to realize that the troubles that you have had because of the abuse or the rejection is not necessarily your fault. I asked my brother, who's older than me, what did I do? I must have done something to cause all this to happen to me. And he said that he was 2 years older and he had no idea of anything I did wrong. It wouldn't be when I did anything. It would happen any time. And so my mother had more problems than I did. And this is the way you have to learn to think about it, a compassionate way toward the person who has abused you. Otherwise, the devil will come back to you and he'll start telling you all this stuff all over again, and the hate will start again, the fear will start again, and all the things will start all over again. You have to forgive that person to the degree that you can pray for them, and out of your very heart, you want to see them blessed by God and to receive all the blessings of God. You have to realize that what happened may not have been your fault, or it may have been only partially your fault. And what we have done with the people that we have worked with since then is we have started by having them break the curses that come on them. Some things that your ancestors do cause demons in your subconscious mind, and you don't have to do anything, and that your parents, your immediate parents, don't have to do anything. And here are some of the things that can cause demons in your subconscious mind without your parents, your actual parents, maybe participating. Idol worship, the Masons, some areas of the Catholic Church, the occult, the cults, all sins sexually. And those are the sins that come from incest, adulteries, homosexuals, bastards, and so forth. And then you have to correct your attitude about your parents. Many of the attitudes that they've had have not come to you by word. They may not have even come to you by action. My mother had this overpowering fear of what the neighbors would think. If I wanted to go barefooted, it was, what will the neighbors think? One time I was barefooted and a car came down the road and she was sitting on the porch and she hollered to me, Erling, get behind that tall clump of grass. I don't want them to see you barefooted. So into me came fear of people, a desire to impress people, but I never realized what it came from. So I spent all my life in slavery to some of these attitudes that my parents had. I was unable to obey the Word of God. There was a section in the Bible that used to puzzle me. It talks about people reading the Word of God, and then they don't obey it. And I think, that's so stupid. Why would you read the Word of God and not obey it? But when I got sincere enough in my Christian life to try to obey it, I couldn't obey it either. I wanted to forgive, and I didn't know how to forgive. So what I found is that I had to go back with the Lord in prayer and so forth and find out why I couldn't obey the Word of God. We look at it, we read it, we say it's great, I want to do that. And with our whole heart we try to do it and we can't. We found that one of the reasons you can't is because of these demonic presence in your subconscious mind. Says you look at the Word of God and you go off and you can't obey it, it's like looking in the mirror and you can't remember what kind of person you are. And I found that because I didn't know what kind of person I was, really it was more like what kind of person I was with the host of demons I had in me, I couldn't obey the Word of God. And so we started out with me, and we went through the same principles of deliverance that we had before, which is you must forgive those who have done things against you. And then we proceeded on with the deliverance. The next time my principal came in my room, my children and I couldn't wait to show him what we had been doing. That terrible fear that I had of those in authority above me was gone. And it was a tremendous release for me to realize that it was gone, because I was wondering, what's going to happen the next time they come in? What will I do? And I could just feel myself possibly going back down into the same thing I had come out of, but it didn't happen. How can you tell if you're delivered in your subconscious mind? You'll find yourself not reacting the way you used to react. You'll find yourself thinking about the whole situation faces you in a different light than you ever thought of it before. If you used to react a certain way to certain words, you may find they have no effect on you now. If certain things happen and you become immobile and can't do anything, you may find that when this same thing happens again, you're not immobile, you can think, and you can do. And I just thank the Lord for helping me in this area of my life, and I feel like this is only the tip of the iceberg, something we don't really know very much about. We worked with some people in deliverance and not have much happen to them, and we can't understand why. And after this happened to me, we began to bring in the deliverance in the subconscious mind, and we'd see these people strengthened. So I'm sure that we don't know very much about it yet, and I would like to know a lot more. But we start with what we have, and then we just keep on going. Now I'm going to turn it back over to Gene now and let him finish up with the deliverance in this area.
Let's all stand up and raise your arms and stretch and shout. And you've been sitting there for an hour, and then we're going to get into some mass deliverance here. I'll figure this thing out in a minute. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, Erlene's given you the testimony and the teaching, and the key now is to get to the place of where we have the legal right before God to cast the demons out. All we've got to do is take away the grounds. And she explained some of those to you. And I'm going to take you through some prayers and break some curses. And why don't you just stand up while we do this? Because we've been sitting a long time, and we need to get our muscles working again. And okay, now normally what I do when I go through deliverance, I take people through basic deliverance, and I take them through deliverance of that specific subject. And when I get into the demons, you'll recognize this. The Lord taught us this about 10 years ago, and I can't underestimate the importance of it. So we do it over and over again every time we have deliverance. Now, we need to break certain curses, as Erlene was talking about. Okay, and in addition, one of the key things is you need to forgive those who have abused you physically, mentally, sexually. If you're a woman and you have a feeling, you don't really know, but you have a feeling that your father may have abused you. You can't really prove it, but there's just a feeling there within you. Or it could be a boy. He may have been abused homosexually by his father, by his brother. If you have this feeling there and you can't recall it, then go ahead and forgive that person or persons. If you can't forgive, you can't receive deliverance. Okay, so let's start it off that way. I'm just going to stop a minute and let the Holy Spirit deal with you in silent prayer. And the Holy Spirit will show you. And I want you to forgive those people that have abused you, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever. This is frequently your immediate family. Okay, now let's break some curses. I'll lead you in the prayer. Lord Jesus, I break any curses of idol worship. All the Masons, the occult, any cult, and any idol worship. I break the curses of sexual sins. I break the curse of the bastard, of incest, of adultery, of homosexuality, or any other sexual impurity. Break the curse of improper attitudes of my parents, which were passed down to me. I break all inheritance from any ancestral sins that would give the demons a right to come in to my subconscious mind. Lord Jesus, I forgive my ancestors and my descendants and anyone else that has hurt or sinned against me. I ask you to forgive them and bless them with all spiritual blessings. Forgive me for my many sins. I forgive myself for sins against my body. Now I break all curses, hexes, vexes, or any demonic ties that bind. I break all soul ties brought about by witchcraft or sexual impurity. Send your angels out to bring back anything that has been stolen from my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. Lord Jesus, stir up the demons within my subconscious mind so that they can be identified and cast down. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. I'm going to go through a prayer and take authority over the meeting. Satan, we come against you. We come against all powers, principalities, evil forces in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We come against all demons inside or outside of anyone present over this city, state, nation, world, in hell and out of hell. The Bible says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." We intend to exercise that power to set ourselves free. Satan, we command that you line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. We bind every power that you have. We loose ourselves from you in the name of Jesus Christ. We command the demons manifest, identify, and reveal themselves as unto Jesus. We command that you speak the truth that will stand up in the judgment. Lord Jesus, we ask now that you loose legions of angels, warring angels, ministering angels, the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God, to come down and do all-out warfare here to set the people free. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father. Lord, we turn this meeting over to you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would accomplish what you'd have accomplished here this morning. And we're careful to give you all the glory, honor, praise, and credit for everything that's said and done. And Father, we just ask you, put a ring of Holy Ghost fire around this place. We cut off all communications from the demons outside the people to the demons inside the people. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'd remove every loose demon from there around us so that we only have to deal with the demons within the people. And we thank you for that, Lord. And all these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master and our Savior. We take authority over Satan according to the Holy Word of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against those demon spirits of rejection. I command you to come out of the people right now. Come on out. The spirits of rejection, any rejection that came in from abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, I command especially those demons of rejection to come out. Rejection of any other form. I come against all roots of rejection. I command you to come out of the people right now. Come on, loosen up and come on out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power and I drive you out of the people right now. I want that whole family of rejection to come out. I drive out every spirit of fear of rejection and self-rejection. Come out of those people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no right to be there. Now we drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against any spirits of inability to give and receive love, prenatal rejection. Touch me not, spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I drive out all spirits that came in through the womb. I command them to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I drive out spirits that came in through the parents, rejection by the parents, rejection by the husband, rejection by the wife. I command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I drive out all spirits of rejection by the children. Now come on, loose the people and set them free. I drive out every spirit of rejection, every work of rejection, every root, memory, scar, nest, and habit. Come out of the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I drive out every demon in this common demon grouping, known and unknown. I command you to come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. We loose the spirits of love upon the people. We call down the angels of love so that they can feel that they are loved, that Almighty God loves them, that their husbands, their wives, their children, their parents love them. I loose the spirit of love upon the people. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I demand the complete cleansing in this era of rejection. Now, come out in Jesus' name. Come on, up and out of the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I want a complete cleansing. We hate you, rejection. We hate every sin and iniquity. We hate everything that God hates. You've done a lot of damage to the people, and I come out of them, especially rejection by abuse, rejection of any form or fashion, by sexual abuse, by physical abuse, by mental abuse, especially by the parents. We command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come on, loose the people and set them free right now. I want you out completely in the name of Jesus Christ, that whole family of rejection. You have no choice. We've established a legal basis for kicking you out. We kick you out. We forcefully eject you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, loose the people and set them free. That's right. Just keep on coming out. Line up in rank and file and order and come out quickly. You have absolutely no choice. We have total power and authority over you. Now, you will come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we come against the roots of bitterness, the ruler of bitterness. We call you out in Jesus' name. Bitterness will defile many. It's defiled us. It's defiled our families and our churches and our nation. I come out in the name of Jesus Christ. That spirit of bitterness, the roots of bitterness. I cut you at your roots and I kick you out in Jesus' name. Now come on up and out of the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of bitterness, that whole family, we want you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. We drive every spirit of resentment, hatred, and unforgiveness. Come out, all spirits of unforgiveness. We have forgiven everyone that has hurt us. You have no rights. You will loose us and set us free in Jesus' name. Every spirit of unforgiveness. I drive out the spirits of hatred. The Bible says, love your enemies, do good to them that persecute you, pray for those who despitefully use you. And I command you to come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We forgive our enemies, we love our enemies, and we command those spirits to go in the name of Jesus Christ. All resentment, I drive out all resentment. We have no right to have resentment as a Christian. I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And I drive out every spirit of violence, temper, anger, and retaliation. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Let not the sun set on your anger and give place to the devil. We command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all spirits of temper. We're not going to have to control our temper. We're going to kick it out in Jesus' name. Now come out, spirits of temper. Spirits of violence. We will not be violent. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding upon us. We drive these evil spirits out of us in Jesus' name. We break your power and drive you out. We drive every spirit of murder, suicide, death, and abortion. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all spirits of murder, suicide, self-murder, death, fear of death, abortion. Any demons that came in through abortion or murder or suicide, we command them to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Any dormant spirits, we stir you up and drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We drive out every work of bitterness. You will come out, every root, memory, scar, nest, and habit. We call you out and drive you out in Jesus' name. We drive out every demon, named and unnamed, in this common demon grouping. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Now in the name of Jesus Christ, we come in spirits of rebellion. We drive out all rebellion out of the people. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. We break the curse of witchcraft on the people for rebelling against God, for being unwilling to follow the Bible. We break that curse. We separate rebellion from witchcraft. We kick out the spirits of rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. We want all the roots of rebellion. Come out. The roots of rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. You will loose the people and set them free. Every root of rebellion. Now we drive out every spirit of self-will. We drive out every spirit of self-will and selfishness. Come out. Every spirit of self-will and selfishness, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll move in God's perfect will and we command those spirits of selfishness and self-will to go in Jesus' name. We drive out every spirit of stubbornness. Stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Coming out, every spirit of selfishness, every spirit of stubbornness. That's right. Self-idolatry. Come out. Every spirit of self-idolatry in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose the people and set them free. Come on out. Self-idolatry. In the name of Jesus Christ. We drive out every spirit of disobedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Every spirit of disobedience. Loose the people and set them free. You have no choice. You will come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We drive out every spirit of anti-submissiveness, unwillingness of the wives to submit to the husbands, unwillingness of the husbands to submit to God. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of anti-submissiveness. We drive out every spirit of rebellion, every work, every root, memory, scar, nest, and habit. We command you to go in Jesus' name. We drive out every demon named and unnamed in this common demon grouping. Come out in Jesus' name. Now we drive out every demon in this clan of basic deliverance. We want a complete cleansing in this area. We stir you up and kick you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We have total power and authority over you. You have to obey us. You have no choice. Now come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Just keep on coming out. All rejection, bitterness, and rebellion. Now come against any spirits of abuse. I call out any and all spirits of abuse that came in. Spirits of abuse are related spirits. I command them to go in Jesus' name. I call out that victim spirit. It advertises to be victimized. I command you to come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That victim spirit, the spirit that wants to be victimized, it invites other people to victimize. Come out, all these victimized spirits. I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, as I call your name out, I want all of you and your family, your works, and your associate demons to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of beating, hate, guilt, retaliation, destruction, pouting, cursing, berating, hyperactive, driving spirits, come out in Jesus' name. We drive out every spirit of discontent, dejection, hopelessness, suicide, death, where you welcome death, morbidity, heaviness, gloom, come out of the people in Jesus' name. We drive out every spirit of covetousness, stealing, kleptomania, material lust, food lust, greed, criticism, intolerance. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come on, up and out of the people right now. This whole list of demons and your whole families and all of your works, we command you to go in Jesus' name. We drive out all inferiority, lonely spirits, timidity and shyness, inadequacy, ineptness, suspicion, jealousy, spite, hatred, cruelty, contention, daydreaming, fantasy. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, up and out of the people right now. You have no choice. You'll come out of them in Jesus' name. We drive out every spirit of distrust, pretension, unreality, escapism, indifference, stoicism, passivity, sleeplessness, alcoholism, spirits, drugs. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out, all these demon spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All your works. We drive out every spirit of quarreling, fighting, torment, harassment, funk, listlessness, lethargy, depression, despair, despondency, disgust, discouraged, defeated. Sadism, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We drive out every spirit of false burdens, worry, no peace, dread, apprehension, nervousness, excitement, schizophrenia, mental illness, retardation. Come on out, that whole family of schizophrenia, paranoia, and mental illness. We want you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We drive out every spirit of madness, manic, depressive, paranoia, unfairness, fear of judgment, fear of condemnation, fear of accusation, fear of reproof. Come out in Jesus' name. We drive out every spirit of sensitiveness, hallucinations, nightmares, confusion, frustration, forgetfulness, incoherence, doubt, unbelief, skepticism. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We drive out every spirit of indecision, procrastination, compromise, pride, ego, fear of authority, lying and deceit for protection, pretense and backbiting. We drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We drive out every spirit of irritability, competition, driving, argument, grief, sorrow, heartache, heartbreak, crying for control of others. Come out in Jesus' name. We drive out all spirits of sadness, laziness, death, cursing, gossip, mockery, belittling, railing, idleness. We command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. We drive out the whole family of self-demons, self-pity, self-reward, self-hatred, self-awareness, self-condemnation, self-protection in others in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, every spirit of sexual impurity, lust, incest, fantasy lust, masturbation, homosexuality, harlotry, rape, exposure, frigidity, and murder. We command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. We command all these evil spirits to go. We command all your works to go, all associated demons to go. We demand a complete cleansing in this area of abuse, the deliverance for the subconscious mind, what we've been teaching on and what the Word of God has been teaching on. I just keep on coming out. I command you to come out of the people until you're out. I command you to come out even after this meeting is over. Just keep on coming out in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, any demon that wants to remain there, we loose the angels upon them, Father. If necessary, we loose one angel for each demon, Father. If necessary, put them in a box and read scripture to them until they have to come out, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we demand the deliverance for this people. You will come out in the name of Jesus Christ. You are defeated. You have no choice. Now loose the people and set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, I went through that list rather fast. But one of the things, when you go through a list of demons, pay attention to it, and many times you'll identify characteristics that you're having problems with. If I didn't get them now, and you feel they're still there, then we'll keep on working on them as this meeting goes by here. But we have a limited amount of time, and we've got to get ready for lunch. And so just pay attention to that list of demons, and see if there's anything that you feel is still within you, or that applies to you. And myself or others will work with you through the convention. Praise God. Brother Glenn? Oh, okay. Well, praise God. Not ready to eat, then we'll work for a while longer here. I should have looked at my watch there. I thought I was running out of time. Okay, let me try another approach here. Is someone here, do you have a particular spirit that I didn't call out that you feel like I should have called out? See, the Holy Spirit can work with anyone within you. He doesn't just work with me. He'll work with anyone within here and reveal to you spirits within yourself or spirits that you think might need calling out. If you know of a name, let me know. Yes?
When I was
a child. Right. Okay, have you asked God to forgive you for watching the ghost stories? Oh, you heard them. Okay, for hearing them. Right. Okay, I want you just to silently ask the Lord to forgive you for the hearing of those ghost stories, allowing them to come within your being and violate your being. Just do that silently, and I'm going to call out the demons out of the rest of the people. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against any evil spirits within anyone that came in through the watching of ghost stories, listening to ghost stories, telling of the ghost stories or whatever that brought fear of night, fear of the darkness, that brought dread and apprehension, fear of the husband going off and leaving her, fear of staying in the apartment by herself or anyone like that. Now come out of the people right now. I command you to come out. All these evil spirits of fear, I call out every spirit of nightmares. Come out, all spirits of nightmares, false visions, false dreams. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Hysteria, come out, spirits of hysteria, anxiety and hysteria, hallucinations. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, all these false things that happen to us that we see, I drive out spirits of fears. Come out, fears of all types and phobias of all types. I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. I drive out the fear of God. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. The fear of God, the fear of lost salvation. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, up and out of the people right now. All these fears and all these phobias, we break your power and we drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for opening our mind by watching television or listening to the radio or listening to people tell us things where we would open our minds, Father, and give Satan a legal right to attack us through fear. Now, coming out, all these demons of fear within the women, fear when their husband goes off. Their husband can't even go off for one night, and they're afraid, and they leave all the lights on, and they stay up all night. Now, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All these fears, I break your power, and I drive you out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, every spirit of nightmares and related spirits. Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against phobias of all types, which are types of fears. Fears and phobias, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear of the dark, fear of darkness, inability to turn off the light, we command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Okay, this is one of the things I'll be teaching about, the curse of Ahab and the Jezebel, the improper family authority. And then I've got a list of demons that go along with that. But let's see if we can just deal with this particular lady and this particular thing right here, and then as it applies to anyone else. See, the advantage of mass deliverance, she may have a spirit, but anyone in here that has that same spirit, as I call it out, then you can deal with a mass of people for the same spirit. So don't think of these people as just being personal. They're the only ones that have a problem. Examine yourself. See if you have that problem. Okay, and then we'll get rid of the demons. Okay, let's break the... what I want you to do is just pray silently and break this curse that your mother has over you, this improper authority that she has over you. And then we'll just come against those spirits. And you just do that silently. Any of the others can do that silently too. If you had an improper authority, you had a dominant mother and a weak father, it's quite common. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we break all these curses, the Jezebelic mothers and Ahab fathers, the strong mothers and the weak fathers, and all the other things that go with it. We especially break it for this lady here today, Father. The name of Jesus Christ. Now we command those spirits to come out. Those spirits that come out, that come into her and anyone else in here that were brought about by this improper family authority. That's right. We command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. These fears, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command all of them to go. That's right. We break your power and we drive you. Now come out of her. Those demon spirits that she has mentioned that are particularly troubling her, I command them to come out of her right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we forgive our fathers and our mothers, especially our fathers, Lord, for not raising us properly. And I command those spirits to go in Jesus' name. Now, come on out. Those evil spirits of dominant, manipulative, controlling mothers, we command those spirits to go in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. You must go. You have no choice. That's right. We forgive our parents for improperly raising us. Now, come out in Jesus' name. That's right. By the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, we command you to go out of every one of us in Jesus' name. Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. Yes, sir.
I feel like I have a spirit of rejection going back to years ago when the Lord told me to drop out of the humanistic liberal college I was going to. I didn't go. I graduated a couple of years later, but I kept on taking course after course and loading me up full of junk. And I knew I was sinning, and I felt cut off from God. And I was cut off from all my friends and dropped out when I was supposed to drop out. And I just cut off from everybody, and I just backslid real heavily. I landed up behind bars for a few years. Because I went to pray to Charles Manson just about. And I still feel I have a spirit of rejection of some kind in those days. And I feel, like even described it, as like a 20-foot-long scaly worm. And several times the drum would come out and ask the liver to stretch it, but then something would block it and it would go back in and cover up behind another half.
Well, it had a right to be there, apparently. Okay, what I want you to do is, first of all, I want you to ask God to forgive you for disobeying Him. Then I want you to forgive that humanistic college for the way that they taught you. Okay, anybody else can do the same thing. Go ahead and do that silently. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I just ask you to forgive us all where we have disobeyed and rebelled against you, Father. Not done what you ask us to do. We truly repent, Father. We know that rebellion is as witchcraft. If we rebel against you, you look at that as the same as witchcraft, Father. And I know we all do it, and we all need forgiveness and repentance, Father. And Father, we just pray for these humanistic colleges, Lord. We pray especially for the leadership. Pray, Lord, that they would come into salvation and they would get out of those humanistic colleges. And we war against those humanistic colleges in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would bring them down, that you would tear them down in the name of Jesus Christ, that the works would be destroyed. We call down curses, burning fire, and destruction upon those humanistic colleges. We call down confusion in the name of Jesus Christ. We loose the demons to attack those colleges, to put them in total disarray in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just ask you to move mightily, Father, with no holds barred, and total all-out spiritual warfare in Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I call out these spirits of rejection. That's right, spirits of rejection. It came into him and came into anyone else. Rejection through false teaching. That's right, rejection through the false teaching in public schools or private schools or colleges or universities. This rejection that's come in, the spirits of humanism. I call out any and all spirits of humanism. I break your power and I drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out of the people, spirits of humanism, humanistic teaching. I command you, any demons that came in through humanistic teaching at any level of the system, the public school system or the private school system, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Now we drive out spirits of rejection, the rejection that came into him in the name of Jesus Christ. And we call out that spirit that manifests itself as a long, scaly worm. We call you out and we command you to come out of him in Jesus' name. Come out of anyone else, any demon spirits of worms. I call out spirits of worms in the name of Jesus Christ, spiritual worms. Demons in the form of worms. I call out these evil spirited worms. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I break your power and I drive you. And I'm coming out of the people. These spirits that manifest themselves as worms. And I call out those snake spirits. I call out those snake spirits, those python and cobra spirits. I call them out in the name of Jesus Christ. I call out that spirit of Leviathan. Leviathan, python, cobra. Snake spirits, I command them to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I call out all these wormy spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. We kick you out. That's right. Any physical worms or spiritual worms, we command you to go in Jesus' name. We curse any worms within our bodies that are physical. We command them to die in the name of Jesus Christ. We curse these spiritual worms, these demons, and we command them to go in Jesus' name. Now, come on up and out of us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to come out of the heads of the snake spirits that are manifested with their head and our heads. I command you to come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Those snake spirits that are wrapped around our backbone, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now loose the people's backbone. Loose them from this back pain and so forth that you're causing them. Come on. Take your hands off of them. Come out of their backbones and from around their backbones. And take your hands off of their nerves where you're pinching their nerves. And I command them to come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Every evil spirit, you will loose the people and set them free. All these snake spirits, I call out all snake eggs and snake nests in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'll come against any scorpion spirits and I call them out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now loose the people and set them free right now in Jesus' name. That's right. Just keep on coming out in the name of Jesus Christ. Your power is broken. Keep on coming out of him. You have no choice. I command the complete evil spirit to come out of him in Jesus' name. That whole spirit, I want all of you out this time in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, anybody else? Yes, sir.
The spirit that would keep you from a blocking spirit that would keep you from meditating in the law day and night.
Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come against those blocking spirits that keep us from meditating in the law. We come against those blocking spirits that keep us from reading the Bible. Those blocking spirits that keep us from remembering the Bible. Those spirits of forgetfulness. We command them to come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now loose the people. Come on out of them. All these spirits of blocking. I come against mind blocking, mind occult, mind blanking. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come in spirits of confusion, a whole family of confusion, mind blocking, mind blanking, mind occult, all blocking spirits of all type, especially the spirits that block us from reading the Word and hearing the Word. I come against those demon spirits that come in and steal the Word from us in the name of Jesus Christ. Evil spirits that steal the Word from us as we read it, they come and they steal the Word. I come against those in Jesus' name. I command you to come out of us. That's right. All these evil spirits that have to do with us not being able to read the Bible or remember the Bible or put the Bible into practice, I command you to come out of the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We break all curses on the people in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, let me just run through this list one more time. And okay, about how much time do I have, Brother Glenn? Now, what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to go through this list a little bit slower. And if you feel a spirit manifest within you and you don't get rid of it, then raise your hand. Okay. And those people right beside you can lay hands on you. And I'd like to do a little more thorough job this time. You want to say something? Okay, fine. We'll be happy to do that. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my sister who is a minister for the land that she has been given to build upon. I lift up her and her church and her family, Lord Jesus. And now we come against all blocking spirits. Any spirits that would block our finances, we come against any spirits that would block the finances to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, the finances to any and all ministers and their churches or their ministries, Father. We come against all those blocking spirits of anyone who's representing here today. And we bind your power and we command you to go. Father, I ask you to go out and bring in the money that belongs to us. I ask that you go out and bring in the money that Satan has stolen from us in the name of Jesus Christ. And I And we bind those blocking spirits. We place them in a box, Father. We completely bind them up in the name of Jesus Christ. We loose our money. We loose our money from Satan, from the heathen. We loose it in the name of Jesus Christ to come in so we can do the works of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let me go through this list of demons again. And if you feel there's one stirring up within you and you don't feel him coming out, then raise your hand and get some personal ministry. Okay, I come again against this list of demons. I command every spirit to leave, every work to leave, and every associated demon to leave in each one of these families. As I call your name out, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I drive out the spirits of beating, hate, guilt, retaliation, destruction, pouting, cursing, berating, hyperactivity, driving. Come out of the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Now keep on coming out. Every spirit of discontent, dejection, hopelessness, suicide, fantasy death, morbidity, heaviness, gloom. Go, loose the people right now. Come on, that's right. Come on out of the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to go. You have no choice. You will loose the people and set them free completely in Jesus' name. That's right. Keep on going in the name of Jesus Christ. We drive an every spirit of covetousness, stealing, kleptomania, material lust, food lust, greed, criticism, and intolerance. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come on out of the people right now. Every evil spirit, we command them to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go as your name is called and go quickly in the name of Jesus Christ. We drive out every spirit of inferiority, loneliness, timidity, shyness, inadequacy, ineptness, suspicion, jealousy, spite, hatred, cruelty, contention, daydreaming, fantasy, distrust, pretension, unreality, escape, indifference. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, up and out of the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Come on, up and out of him. Lay your hands on him right there. Okay, and work with him if you would. Okay, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All these evil spirits, we command you to go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Your power is broken and we drive you out in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.